Okay, I think I can start. Everyone is back from the little break we had. So the session for the next hour is titled Application Lifecycle Management End-to-End. So my name is Pieter Hazens. I'm a Visual Studio ALM MVP working for Sparkles, a company that focuses on application lifecycle management solutions on top of Team Foundation Server. Sparkles also organizes advanced IT training classes with international experts. I'm also the user group lead for the Visual Studio user group in Belgium. So are there members from the Visual Studio user group in the room here? You see one hand. Okay, so for those people who don't know the Visual Studio user group, it's a free user group, and we organize technical evening sessions on different Visual Studio and .NET topics. So next week, for example, we are organizing an event on ReSharper and on the C# internals. So for more information, feel free to go to our website. We organize almost each month an event, and it's totally free. Okay. So the agenda, this is the agenda. It doesn't contain a lot of slides. It will mainly focus on the end-to-end demo I will do inside Visual Studio. So I only have 45 minutes. Next time I should ask a bigger slot, because there's a lot to tell about application lifecycle management. It's becoming a hot topic, and a lot of different topics inside application lifecycle management can be targeted. So I will start with the definition of application lifecycle management, and then I will switch to the offering from Microsoft, the ALM offering from Microsoft with Visual Studio 2010. So the biggest part of this session will be the demo, where I will show you the we'll try to show you the ALM end-to-end workflow inside Visual Studio. So that will be the main part of the session, and I will end with a summary, and hopefully you can also have a short Q&A, and then there's lunch, so until 1 o'clock. So application lifecycle management. Application lifecycle management is indeed becoming more and more popular these days. In the past, we always talked about the systems development lifecycle, so the SDLC. The SDLC was more geared towards IT people, while application lifecycle management is also geared to non-IT people. So you remember in the SDLC, planning phase, analysis phase, a design phase, implementation phase. So the application lifecycle management space is much broader. So it's more than the technical software development lifecycle. So that's something you need to remember if you hear the term application lifecycle management. If we look at the definition from Forrester, Forrester tells us that ALM is the coordination of development lifecycle activities, including requirements, modeling, development, build, and testing. So it resembles a bit the software development lifecycle, so the technical part, but it's much broader. And also for Microsoft, ALM is much broader than only the technical software development lifecycle. In fact, it starts when you, as a business, have a business ID, and it ends when your application is put into production, or even when your application is removed from production. So it's a much longer lifecycle. That's ALM. That's what it means. So first of all, a little bit of history. Maybe just a quick question. Are there developers in the room who have a developer profile? Okay, so 50% of people are developers or used to be developers. That's good. So you probably developed before the years 2005, where you were a developer working with Visual Studio EnterDev or Visual Studio 2002, 2003. At that moment in time, Visual Studio was solely a tool for developers. So developers could load Visual Studio, add a solution to Visual Studio, add some projects to it, maybe create a setup package to package the application, but it was only a tool for developers. No other role was involved. And that shifted with the release of Visual Studio Team System 2005. So in November 2004, this release was made public, and it was a shift because at that moment in time, other people were also more involved in using Visual Studio. So those people could also use Visual Studio to benefit as a team, so working on the same development projects. So we had a first release, Team System 2005. After that, we had a small upgrade Team System 2008, so we can see Team System 2005 as the 1.0 release and the Team System 2008 more as a 1.1 release. But now with the Visual Studio 2010 release, it's again a very big release. So it's not a 1.2 release, or it's even not a 2.0 release, but it's really a 3.0 release. A lot of new features, a lot of features for other stakeholders than developers, so it's really big. You can also see that the word team system is again gone. So we speak again of Visual Studio 2010. There was a lot of confusion about team system and team foundation server, so Microsoft decided to remove the team system word again, and everything is put under the Visual Studio branding again. So you need to remember that Visual Studio 2010 is really becoming now a true collaboration platform for all stakeholders in the software development process. So who are those other stakeholders now? So, okay, the developer will stay central in the solution. So he will still be able to do his thing inside Visual Studio and all the tools that are provided for him. But other stakeholders are, for example, a business analyst. He can also benefit by using Visual Studio 2010 and Team Foundation Server, the entire platform. Also, other people like architects can model their applications inside Visual Studio, create UML diagrams, use case diagrams, sequence diagrams. All information that's important for an architect can also be stored or linked to other things inside Team Foundation Server. Also, the designer is part of the experience now. He can, for example, connect from Expression Blend and do his thing inside Expression Blend, but still talking to the version control feature of Team Foundation Server. The developer, of course, will remain there as a key player in the solution. Also, introduction of the database professional inside the lifecycle. Also, a big focus on testers. Testers can also use parts of Visual Studio tools to execute their manual tests, to automate their manual tests, and so on. And last but not least, also the project manager is involved because he needs to feed the requirements into the system. He has to keep track on what's going on at the different milestones in the trajectory. So a lot of people are involved here, and there's even one I forgot to enter here, and it's the operations manager, or the people who are involved with putting applications into production. So also these kind of people are involved in the software development lifecycle with Visual Studio 2010. So this slide presents the big picture of the ALM offering from Microsoft with Visual Studio 2010. And in the middle, you can see Team Foundation Server. So Team Foundation Server is really the core of the ALM offering from Microsoft. So Team Foundation Server relies heavily on a SQL Server database. So all data will be stored in that SQL Server database and later can be used for different purposes. So that's really the backbone of the offering. On top of Team Foundation Server, you can find a number of features. Those features are provided by some kind of web services on the platform and can use them from different tools. So different features on top of Team Foundation Server are project management, requirements management, version control, of course, test case management, build automation, and reporting. So first of all, I have to say that there's still a lot of confusion about Visual Source Safe and version control and version control inside Team Foundation Server. So don't confuse Team Foundation Server. It's not the next version of Visual Source Safe. Okay, it includes also version control management, but it's not the next version of Source Safe. So Source Safe is actually dead, and there won't be a new version of Visual Source Safe. Version control inside Team Foundation Server is really built up from the ground to support really big distributed teams. So it's not, it cannot be compared anymore with Visual Source Safe. So the new features inside Visual Studio 2010 compared to the previous release of Team System are, for example, requirements management, test case management, and there's also some new features for the build automation stuff. And then on top of those features, you have the different client tools that are able to connect with Team Foundation Server. So you can have the different Visual Studio editions, Professional, Premium, Ultimate. So the higher you go, the more features you get. And you also have the newly introduced suite Test Professional, so Visual Studio Test Professional. So that suite includes a dedicated tool for testers, for functional testers, Microsoft Test Manager tool. With that tool, functional testers can create a test plan, can create test cases, can add those test cases to a test plan, can execute test cases inside the test plan, can automate a test execution they did in the past, can export automated action recordings to Visual Studio, and so on. So they have a lot of tools to collaborate with the development team. So they will file also bugs from that tool that the developer later can pick up to fix the bug. Next to that, you have also a standalone tool, Team Explorer. So with Team Explorer, you can connect also to the features of Team Foundation Server. So you don't need to have a Visual Studio edition. So that's also important to include other stakeholders in the project. So they don't need to have a Visual Studio edition standalone on their laptop. They can connect with Team Explorer, or they can go to the browser application, so to Team Web Access, where they also have access to the reporting, to the build automation system, and so on. And there's always room for extensibility, so you can always create your own tools that connect to the API of Team Foundation Server to do your own processing. And on the other side, you can find the typical Microsoft products like Microsoft Excel and Microsoft Project. But those tools are also able to connect to Team Foundation Server and to pull the information you're interested in. There's also support now for Expression Blend, like I told you. So you can do version control operations from inside Microsoft Blend. And there's also more support for SharePoint development. So the thing I didn't talk about yet is the process template. That's the glue that keeps it all together. So the process template provides some kind of guidance, how you can start your project, how you can work together as a team, what artifacts that you need to provide, and so on. So it gives you a way of starting up your project. And last but not least, we have a new addition also in the product that's called Visual Studio Lab Management. So Lab Management is purely an add-on for Team Foundation Server, so it cannot exist standalone. And Lab Management is actually an extension of the build automation feature in Team Foundation Server 2010. And it allows applications to be easily deployed inside virtual environments, so for further testing, validation, and verification. So with Lab Management, the development teams are able to provision test environments where applications can be deployed for manual and also automated testing. So Lab Management relies on Hyper-V, the virtualization solution from Microsoft. And those virtual environments can be easily set up by making use of existing virtual machines, but also by using predefined templates. So it gives you the option to really quickly set up your virtual environments for testing. So in those environments, you can roll back to a certain known state. So it gives you the possibility also to always deploy inside a clean environment. So it won't become corrupt due to multiple deployments you did on the same system. No, with Lab Management, you can always roll back to a certain known state and deploy your application inside that virtual environment. So it gives you a lot of options for testing, for building, deploying, and also testing your application in one automated cycle. Okay, so that's a big picture. Are there any questions on this? Otherwise, we can continue and go to the demo. Yes, one question?
Project management, is that the same as SharePoint?
No. I will give a demo about the feature for project management. It's part of the work item management feature that's inside Team Foundation Server. So I will come back to your question in the demo. Other questions? Okay, so let's continue. First of all, I want to show you this slide to show you which features are present in each different Visual Studio edition. So I told you already, the higher you go, the more features you will get. There are, of course, some interesting features that are only present in the Ultimate edition of Visual Studio, for example, IntelliTrace, where you can go back in history and see what was going on inside your code. So it will help a developer to reproduce a bug, for example, to have all the information that's needed to fix the bug. Support for UML is also is only provided in the Ultimate edition. You have Architecture Explorer, the Class Designer, so number of interesting features are only present in the Ultimate Edition. On the other side, Team Foundation Server is the same for every edition of Visual Studio. So it's not because you're using a professional edition of Visual Studio that you only have access to a number of features inside Team Foundation Server. So Team Foundation Server is there for everyone to use. Version control, work item tracking, so all the features we saw also on the big picture slide. Okay, so let's go to a demo. And in this demo, I want to show you the workflow, starting with requirements management inside Visual Studio and ending up with the final delivery, so with a build that's that can be deployed inside a production environment. Also, something I forgot to mention in a previous slide. So if you have a client edition of Visual Studio with MSDN, so Ultimate, Premium, or a Professional, you're able to use a Team Foundation Server for free inside the production environment. So the MSDN subscription also includes a license for using Team Foundation Server. So that's also new in the licensing of Visual Studio 2010. So the server product is actually free, but you have to pay, of course, for the client tools that can become quite costly. Also for using Lab Management, for example, Lab Management is also free to use. So if you have a valid license of Team Foundation Server, you can also install and use Lab Management. The only cost you will have for Lab Management is, of course, the hardware environment you need to set up to support the virtual environments you have to provision. And, of course, also, so you need to spend some money, of course, on excellent hardware there. Okay. If you have more questions on licensing or other stuff, please come and see me during the lunch break. I'm happy to help you with that. So in the demo, I will start with requirements management and iteration management. So I will try to show you how you can manage your user stories inside the Team Foundation Server platform, how you can prioritize your requirements, how you can set user story points, how you can set risks, and so on. So I will demo that in a few moments. And then you'll switch to iteration backlog. So once at a certain moment in time, you will set up an iteration where you will pick some backlog items to implement. I will also show you how you can break down your user stories inside into different tasks to be implemented by your team. There are also some reports that you can use there to follow what's going on inside an iteration to see what hours are remaining to be implemented and so on. So you have some features there that project managers can use to follow up. Then I will switch to development and testing. So I will show you how the individual tasks can be picked up by developers, for example, how they will implement a task, how they will check it into version control, how they can build their application, how they can test it, how they can deploy it. So I will talk about it, that also in the demo. And at the end, we will have some kind of delivery of a product, so a build that can be used for deployment. Okay, so we'll start with requirements management and iteration management. So I'm connecting here to a virtual machine where my environment is set up. So I will just show you quickly how Team Foundation Server works. So I'm opening here Visual Studio Ultimate Edition, and inside my Team Explorer, I'm able to connect to Team Foundation Server. So here you can say to which team project collection you want to connect. So I've created already a team project, ISV Discovery Day. So when creating a new team project, one of the first steps to do is select a process template that you can use for creating your team project. So out of the box, you have two team process templates available. So the MSF for Agile software development and also the MSF for CMMI process improvements. So those are provided out of the box, but you can, of course, use other process templates that are provided by third-party vendors. Like, for example, Scrum for Team System has a process template to more mimic a Scrum process on top of Team Foundation Server. Or you can use the Scrum process from Microsoft. That's a very new Visual Studio Scrum 1.0 process template. For this demo, I've used the MSF Agile So MSF for Agile Software Development Process Template. So if you want to start with creating a team project, investigate some time in choosing which process template will suit you best. If none suits you best, you can always create your own process template, but that's a heavy customization step there. So try to start with an existing one and customize it from there on. So I've created already a team project, and once you create a team project, so depending on the team process template you choose, you will get different things inside: work items, documents, reports. It all depends on the choice of process template here. So for example, you can use work item management to do your product backlog. So your product backlog will contain all user stories or all requirements that needs to be done inside the application you want to develop. So you have some documents that can help you with that. So in the documents folder, so this is actually part of the SharePoint portal that's also set up when you create a new team project, you can find some documents that will help you to manage your product backlog and also to manage your iteration backlog. So your product backlog can also be viewed inside the work items tree. So we have some queries here for a product backlog. So I'm running this inside Visual Studio, and this gives me a list of the user stories that needs to be implemented for my application I want to build. So I have, for example, user story event registration. So you can give some details. You can give the title. You can assign it to a person. You can set it to active. It's done automatically in this case. And then you can provide some more details how you want to implement this this feature. So here you can give it some more detailed tasks, what it should do. But let's see how those worksheets can help you to really plan your backlog. So inside Excel, you can connect to one of those work item queries. For example, this product backlog can be opened by Excel, so open query in Microsoft Excel. And this gives you the same result as the work item query, but I can also do batch processing here. So I can, for example, add a new story. I give it a static rank. I can provide it some story points. Give the title to active. Don't select the iteration yet. Give the path area path and also provide the type. And then you have a team menu inside Microsoft Excel where you can connect to Team Foundation Server and publish your changes. So here you can publish the work item to TFS, and it will get an ID back. So it's stored inside TFS now, and I can also see the same results back inside Visual Studio. So the new user story is also added here on top. So there's also a dedicated product planning worksheet that can help you to really order your product backlogs and to see which one are have high priority to pick up for the next iteration. So the next step is actually to define an iteration and to pick user stories from the product backlog to be implemented in the next iteration. So therefore I already opened the iteration backlog, and this workbook gives you a view on which user stories you will pick up for the first iteration. So here I picked up three user stories: event registration, feedback, and newsletter subscription. And I've already broken them down inside into individual tasks. So the event registration user story, for example, is implemented by those five tasks. So some are already closed, they're all practically all assigned to me. There's still some remaining work to do. But what's more, the workbook also helps you to define the iteration, so to give a start and end date, to set some interruptions. For example, for your team members, you can set some holidays, or you can set public holidays for the entire team. And then this part is really interesting to help you for capacity planning, to see all the items you pick up from the backlog, can it really be done by the team I have? So I have a team, for example, three people. They work 4 hours a day, or they work 6 hours, or so on. And then you can see if there's a match on the things you want to implement. So here, For example, I'm also part of the team. I'm working four hours a day, but I have some overcapacity. So I need to pass some work to another developer in the team. So I can go back to my iteration backlog here and, for example, some remaining work on my name here. I can just assign it to someone else in the team, and then my capacity will change. So that will just help you to manage your iteration. So some data, like the started and end date, is, for example, not stored in Team Foundation server. Okay, what else you can do? So you can follow your iteration from inside the work item query. So the iteration backlog is the same as we saw in the Excel sheet. So here you can add details to your individual tasks. So I open an individual one, and here the task is not estimated anymore in story points, but it's estimated in hours. So a developer who has a task that's assigned to him has, of course, to update his information. So he has to say, for example, how many work hours are remaining and how many work has already been done. So all that information can then be used for reporting. So I've opened also here the burn down reports. So if we go back to the Team Explorer, you can also see a reports tree, and that's actually connecting to a report server. So I can open the reports from here, like I've done here. So here you have a graph. Maybe I can open it also in the dedicated report manager. So I have the same reports here for my team project, burn down and report. I'll run it here, just make the iteration end a bit closer. So now, as a project manager, for example, you have a nice view of what's going on in the project. So in the beginning, you can see that there was almost 70 hours remaining to complete the iteration. And today, I'm at the point that there's only a bit more than 20 hours left to do. So here you can really follow up what's going on. If new work should be would be added to the iteration, you could see that the graph would go up instead of burning down. So that's all important information. The only prerequisite is, of course, that a developer or a team member has to update his information every day. There are also other interesting reports. For example, the stories overview report. So for each user story here, I can see how many hours have been completed. So for example, the event registration user story is almost done. There's 2 hours remaining. I have two test cases defined to test my user story. I can also see that some tests have already been done. So there's one failing, one is completed. There are two bugs associated to the event registration user story that are still active, so they are not resolved, so I still have to take care of them before I can close my user story. The other user stories here have also one test case defined to validate the user story. So it gives you a lot of information. You can also find other reports, for example, on builds or on bugs. So here, if I want to see the bug status, so let's start it a bit earlier. Example here. Oops. So here you can also see how the bugs are entered into the system, and if they are picked up by the developers, are they solved or are they reactivated, and so on. So a lot of information is present in out-of-the-box reports. You can, of course, create your own reports or customize an existing report. The out-of-the-box reports are, of course, based on the process template you choose. Okay, then I'll switch to the portal, because it's really important to note that you don't need to have Visual Studio to work with or to collaborate with the entire team. So you can also open the project portal. So this project portal is really dedicated for the team project. So the ISV Discovery Day team project has been created, and there I have some dashboards. By default, you get the burn down dashboard with a number of web parts that includes an Excel and services report. Then you can also see the other web parts that are available, and you can switch to other dashboard, for example, a test dashboard that will give you more information about the test plan. That's also part of the entire portal that's based on SharePoint. So a lot of information is present there that can be used. Okay, so let's go one step further and go to the implementation step. So as a developer, I can see which work items are assigned to me. So let's open again the iteration backlog. Here, for example, I can see that there's still one active task that needs to be done by me to implement a notification mechanism for event registration entry. So inside version control, I have created a application, sparkles.website. And I've created some branches. So to implement feature work, I've opened already the Solution Explorer here with my website. So it contains a web application project and also a database where data will be stored. So I have a task to implement a notification mechanism on an event registration. So for example, I can implement, let's look for the registration. So inside this, so when a user clicks to register for an event, I can, for example, uncomment this piece of code that will make sure that also the event is inserted in my database. So but, when I will test this code and everything works, I can check it into the repository. Then you are one step further, because this change can be picked up by your other team members, or a build can be kicked off to deploy this new check-in. So I can check in as a developer this code change, and I can also associate it to a task that has been assigned to me. So it's really important for full traceability to go back in time and to see why the developer made that change. So this link to a task, so I can link it to some kind of query. So I link it to also the iteration backlog. And here I can pick up my task, implement notification mechanism for event registration entry, and I can resolve my item with checking in this piece of code. I also provide some comment here, so add registration. So at this moment my implementation is done, and automatically a build has been kicked off. So there's also the integration with the build automation feature. So for the team project, you also have a build tree. And in there, I've already created a build. So sparkles.website_feature-branch-a. So this build definition will just make a connection to my Team Foundation repository, get the latest code from the feature branch, and do the compilation, do the testing, and so on. So let's look at the run of the build. So you see it's building, because I did a check-in, so the system is listening to a check-in event, and then he fires a build, because I set the event trigger to build on each check-in. So there's continuous integration. You can also go one step further and do a gated check-in, where you can prevent broken builds. So with a gated check-in, first of all, your build has to succeed before the code is committed to the repository. So that way you won't impact your fellow developers with a broken build. Also new in version control is the possibility to track individual change sets across your branches. So for the feature branch A, if I go to the history, so I can see all my changes that I've done on this branch, and then I can track it over my different available branches. So here I want to visualize it, and here I can see that change set 205 contains the change I've done, so one file. You can compare it to the previous version, of course. So that's my change, and it's part of the 205 chainset, and it's not yet part of my main branch or my other branches. From here I can just do a drag and drop to say I want to merge my change also to another branch. So it's part of the visualization here that you can also do actions. So you can look up the chainset and merge it to another branch. So by doing this, the change will be pushed to my local workspace. I still have to validate it and commit it to the repository. But it's the merging can be done from here. Okay, that's implementation. We only have 10 minutes left, so let's switch to testing, because testing is also a big part of the ALM offering from Microsoft Insight Visual Studio 2010. So let's go back to my backlog. For my event registration use story, I also have a tab with test cases. So a use story is backed up by some test cases, so to validate that my use story is really done. So let's open up the use story here. Oops, I have a connection issue. Okay, here I have my use story, and here I've defined already some test cases. So I can now open up Microsoft Test Manager. So this is part of the Test Professional suite, where I can plan a test plan, create test cases. So here I'm connecting to my test plan. I've already created that. And this contains some test cases to be executed. So my event registration test case, for example. And this contains the different steps that need to be done to validate my user story. So as a tester now, I can move to the test tab and really execute one of those test cases. So let's execute this first one. I can run it with options. So I'm testing to a particular build of Team Foundation Server. And here I can really execute my test case. So I will start the test, and we'll start also recording. So you can play it back later on if you enable the action recordings. So, but from here, I can indeed follow the test steps. So I need to open Internet Explorer. So this step is done. Then I go to a home page. So this page is also shown. Navigate to a training section here. Okay, this step is also done. Then I need to select the training. Let's, for example, let's take another one. The it's lower here because I want to have an error. And then you can register online. So all this can be played back. So because you can enable it to record all the actions I'm doing on the user interface. It doesn't only work for web applications, but also for WinForms or WPF or Silverlight applications. So now I can also bound parameters to my fields here, just by bringing them over. So just entering some fields here manually, just to go a bit quickly. Okay, now submit the info. This is also done. Now we can send it. Normally it should fail now. Did I push it already? There's still a field that didn't fill up. Okay, so let's presume that an error has occurred now. As a tester, I want to submit data about my test run I was doing. So here I can, for example, create a snapshot of my error. Let's say this was an error. I can give the comment. So it's included in my test step here. And at the end, I can fail my test. Now he's also collecting all the information that was going on. So you can include your system information. You can also include, for example, a video recording of what you were doing. You can include an IntelliTrace log file. So all this information can now be sent to a developer. So you can create a bug from inside Microsoft Test Manager. New bug. You can assign it to a person in your team. And then look at the details here. So it contains all the items that I was doing at that moment in time. So it gives you the screenshots, gives you which step was failing, gives you the system information. So I was testing my application on this particular machine. All links are also included, so all the attachments are there. So this is all the information that's needed for a developer to reproduce the bug and to solve it as quickly as possible. So this will avoid the no more, no repro situation that occurs a lot. So this will improve the collaboration between testers and developers. So there won't be a ping-pong game anymore going on between your two teams there. So then you can save it, and it can be picked up by a developer who will implement the bug fix on a particular branch. Okay, so this will close now, and let's see. Okay, I have still a few minutes left. So we have seen requirements management, iteration management, also seen some visualization during implementation phase, also the testing. So we've also seen this picture that's coming back. So before I'll end with the summary, so one part of the demo I couldn't do because indeed we only have 45 minutes, but now when the application is ready for testing and all user stories are implemented, you can also set up some kind of automated deploy cycle. So to take the latest build of your application and deploy it on a physical PC, but also, for example, on a virtual environment using lab management. So inside that virtual environment, your testers can create additional test cases, so do some exploratory testing, so they can really make sure that the application you will publish to the public will be of high quality. So it doesn't end just by implementing some implementation task, but also couples the entire test plan to your implementation. So to summarize, Visual Studio 2010 is really a very big release. It's not a 1.2, but it's really a 3.0 release of Visual Studio with a lot of new features targeting the testers, but also the architecture people inside the software development team. And it really has become a mature collaboration platform. So I don't think there's, at this moment, a better offering in the market, because Team Foundation Server plays very nice together with all the features that are included. So from requirements management up to delivery of an application, there's very, very tight integration. And you can always go back in time, or you can always see the full traceability of, for example, a build that has been deployed inside the production environment, because you can trace the build back to which changes were done for that particular build, which user stories were part of the latest build, and so on. So you have a full traceability on your applications. So it's integrated with services for all possible stakeholders. And it contains also the nice reports you saw. You can use them out of the box, or you can create your own. So while setting up Team Foundation Server, you can choose to use Windows SharePoint Services, which are free, which provides also a dashboard, but not so an extensive dashboard as a dashboard on a full SharePoint server on MOS 2010, for example. So that's also something you have to investigate, which features you want to enable for your entire team project. I want to end with this slide, because tooling is, of course, not everything. It should be some kind of ideal match between process, the tools, but also the people who work with the tools. So it's not because you have a nice tool that your project will succeed. No, it's because you will have an ideal match between the people who will use your tool and also the process they will apply on the tooling. So the process template you have to choose is very important for success. Okay, some questions maybe. So I hope you have seen already what application lifecycle management offering of Microsoft is all about. So you can really use the different features and link them together. It's an integrated collaboration platform. Okay, questions? Yes?
What about load testing?
Load testing. So the person was asking, what about load testing? So So load testing is a feature that's a part of the Visual Studio Client Edition. So Visual Studio Ultimate contains also some features for load testing. And since a few months now, Microsoft also announced that load testing is unlimited if you have Visual Studio Ultimate Edition. In the past, you needed to buy an extra load testing pack to simulate more than 250 users. So that's a feature that's part of a client edition of Visual Studio.